The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 14th day of November, 2011. The Dow is down 80 points, the S&P is down 12, and the comp is off by 18. That's our quick look at the numbers. I forgot to write them down, but I pulled it off. Okay, garble check, 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 check.
Garble check, garble check, good so far.
You know, I just noticed I was dropping some packets earlier. I'm in desperate need of a reboot. On Friday, my computer downloaded some Windows updates, and since Friday, it's been flashing like every 15 minutes. Do you want to restart an hour later? Do you want to restart an hour later? And I keep saying later, later, later. And when we finish this radio program, I'm going to say now, because I'm so tired of being asked. There's no way to turn that off.
Do you want me to just do my recap? It'll take me about 15 minutes probably to do my recap, and then you can reboot.
No, I'm not going to reboot during the show. I can just keep clicking later, you know, because the show's only going to be an hour and a half, you know, so it'll only ask me like 3-4 times, and then I just click and say no, not now. So I'm making it a much bigger issue than it really is. That's part of the drama of radio. Okay?
All right.
So, but anyway, good morning to everyone, or good afternoon, depending upon your geographical location. For some of you, good evening. Welcome to the show. This is a show about all things E-mini. We will talk also some days about politics, popular culture. If it interests us, we may talk about it. But along the way, we'll give you some really great ideas about trading the E-mini, trading gold, trading silver, trading the euro, etc. Michael's on a bit of a short leash today. He has some things to take care of. So rather than me waxing eloquent like I do some days at the beginning of the show, I'm just going to let Michael take the screens, take the mic, do the recap, and then if there's any time left between the end of the recap and the beginning of David Williams from PageTrader.com, if there's an air gap in that segment of the programming, I promise you, I will wax eloquent. Michael, it's all yours.
All right. Well, let me grab the charts. Let me start.
I will articulate, as it was said earlier.
All right. You were a little garbled, by the way.
Great.
I don't know if it was just me on my end. But
I think it was just you.
I don't know. Possibly. I'll go with that. I'll go with that.
I'm going to reboot everything in the house, even the toaster, after this show. It's all going off and coming back on.
I'm going to have to set all the clocks again.
Gabe loves that. He can do it when he comes home.
Yeah, okay. Somebody else heard a little garble, too. Garble. Right. Gary. Okay. All right. You guys should be seeing my charts right now.
Yes.
All
right.
All right. You are all garbled. So I'm just going to start my recording.
That was on purpose.
Okay. All right. That was pretend
I did good,
garbled.
Eh?
All right.
That was good. I fooled you. All
that
right. Go ahead.
Good.
Roll
that
tape.
That was good. All right. Here we go. I'm ready. I'm going to record in. Ready. Here we go. I'm going to record in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, November 14th, 2011. We're going to go over the trades we took in the morning session, the trades we didn't take, the trades that set up, why we didn't take them, and all that. Now, let me just start by saying we took 2 points. Oops. On that one. We took 2 points this morning. This one. In the live training room. We decided to change the format around a little bit and take 2 points in one account, you know, that actually has multiple contracts, and get that out of the way so that people that are in the live trading room can see that, you know, the goal here is to make a couple points a day, store it away, stop trading, and then continue to watch if you want to learn, or just to start by learning. All right, so we did. We took our 2 points this morning with a few contracts, all right? And I'll show you where we did that. We took it 1 point at a time, all right? And let me scroll back there. The market opened up right here. All right, this was a G trade. We got 3 ticks outside the elbow. It pulled back down here to the BBC. I went long at the BBC. Price went up here pretty close to hitting our 2-point target. but it pulled back. And once it closed down below the triple trend lines right there, I was looking for it to close back up above. Price moved back up above, and then it closed back down below again. That was pretty bearish. So I locked in 1 point when I had the opportunity right here, and I took that 1 point. And the market dropped after that. All right, that was our first trade of the morning. The second trade of the morning, you see it started to set up in here, but we had this whole empty space right here. So we did not take anything in there. Then we needed a lower swing and get anything. Now, right here, this, for everyone that's in here that that's a partner that wasn't in the partners meeting or that knows about the G trades, the George trades, he took this one this morning. I did not because it was inside the zone. He ignored the zone and took the trade and got 2 points out of it. We were looking for an opportunity to get long, but we needed a fresh bubble over here. We didn't get it. Then we needed a higher swing. We didn't get it. Then over here, we had a space right in there, and a space right in there, so we didn't short right here. Right here, we would have taken that, but we needed a fresh bubble again. Same thing over here. We still haven't had the fresh bubble yet. All right. Price moved up here and back down into the zone again. This was another trade I didn't take because it was in the zone. I think George took that one and won. It did move up and pull back down, but we needed a fresh bubble we didn't get. We're back inside the box. Price dropped away over here. What time is this? This is 11:53. Okay. So that was our morning session. Right over here was a good trade. This was the fresh bubble right here. If we would have had an MIT order on right here at 50.75, we would have gotten triggered in here at 50.5, and we would have gotten our full 2 points out of that. All right. So from the four tick range, we got 1 point this morning on one filled trade. All right. Over here, this is the 2100 tick. Mike R, one of our partners, came up with a trade setup over there that we actually took this morning once we had the bearish cross here, and we went through the 50 on the cycle. We had the pullback up here. I took that trade down to the MA1 right here, which was another point. I took that point off, got my 2 points for the day, and then I switched gears. All right, when I switched gears, that was the other Dom that you saw in here, which was still a live Dom, but hang on, let me bring it up here. I can't bring it up. Anyway, I had messed up the entry on a trade with that one. That's how come you saw it at minus one tick. I had messed up the entry on the trade. But I did get into this trade over here. This was a Mike R trade again. We had the bullish cross with the pullback down to the BBC where we were above the 50 right here. We also had a bullish cross down here, and on a 10,000 contract, we had a bullish cross. I'll show you. Way back here, all right, suggesting we're going to get the move up, and we pretty much did get the move up. We got the move up on the 2100 tick from the bullish cross, and then it pulled back here, and it gave us opportunity. We had our entry was here at 54.75, and it did make it up the full 2 points to 56.75. Over here, when it had made it up here, it was at the end of our session, and I wasn't watching it very closely. I ended up getting out a break even on the trade when price came down here. Price came back down and moved up a little bit, and one of the partners reminded me that I had the trade on and that it had almost gone to profit, and I would normally have moved my stop up and been out of break even. I ended up doing that anyway and getting out of break even. After that, there was right in here was an opportunity, but it didn't pull back far enough for the entry. Now, on the YM, we didn't have any trades on the YM this morning. We did put some orders on, but we never got filled where we tried to. All right. This was pre-market. We didn't do this trade right here. All right. We didn't take this trade right here. I don't remember why. I think it was because it was coming down with too much momentum, but we didn't take that trade there. We tried to take this trade right over here. We had an order on over here, and it didn't fill. Then it came down, hit the MA1. That was the window of opportunity between there and there, so we did not take the follow-up after that. The next trade was this one right here. All right. We opted to not go long over here, and we're waiting for the pullback up here on the short. It missed us by one or two ticks. It didn't fill us. We had our order on there. We're looking to go short down, actually down here. This swing is what we're looking for. My order was at 81, I think, and it pulled up to 79. We didn't get filled, so we took the order off. The next opportunity was over here. This momentum bar right here was just too much momentum for me to want to take this trade with 7 ticks risk. And had I tried it with 7 ticks, it would have stopped me out. It did end up going back up. We were expecting it to get up here to this swing. It went up within a tick of that. Then it, in the break period here, it just dropped right off. And it went right down here to this very important area down here. And that was the whole morning session. All right. So we had 24 ticks profit on this account right here. I'm trying to bring it up. This one. All right. And we had no trades on the YM. Okay. That was our morning. So I'm gonna end my morning session recording right here. All right. Recording complete. Now, I'll
check,
save this.
Check.
Put that down.
Recording complete.
Check. Good?
Hey, yeah. What he said. I'm going to... Oh, now, you got that chart up there. Can I get a holo for where the YM is?
Right now, it's at 12036. 2036.
Voiced in the live trading room this morning my concern, guys, as you recall, because it kept looking like the ES wanted to go long, but the YM had not completed its move, and a couple times I voiced my concern. I said, I'm not comfortable with the fact that the YM has not dropped to this next zone. In fact, we stayed out of a long trade based on that. And now we're at that area on the YM. And I'm mostly speaking to partners now because you know what I'm talking about. Okay, but now we got a sort of a flip dilemma if you look left to the ES. See? I like to see those guys sync up. And so somebody's got to lead the pack here.
Didn't take any, hasn't been on volume, and hasn't taken
You got your...
So, let me in her system somehow.
Let me
and,
mute.
Unless he's
oh,
calling it like it is.
Michael?
I'm afraid she might not be telling like it is. The fact that Joey kind of mentioned that she is kind of a person who gets the whole
All right. Michael. Dwayne, is that back?
Yeah, your mic was. Is that your mic?
You're in some excruciating pain. Yeah,
whose mic is that?
I don't know why.
Oh, that was David's mic. I mean, that was, oh, that other guy's mic. Oh, that was Steve's mic. Okay. Steve, what's going on, brother? Okay. All right. Okay, Michael, that was Steve's mic, so I've put you back on now. So.
Yep. Yeah, it was not me.
That was
it was not me. I was trying to figure it out with you.
Yeah. Okay. Back to where was I? Oh, Lord. How does he recover?
You were talking about this special area here and how it's no longer in sync with this one over here.
Yeah. Now we got a reverse issue. Now the ES has got to catch up with the YM. So we'll watch to see if that happens. In other words, I anticipate lower prices. Now, I want to talk just real briefly about what Michael was talking about during the recap for the benefit of all of you guys. I already articulated this to some degree this morning in the live trading room. I just want to touch on it again briefly. We came to the realization that as hard as we endeavor to teach and train 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 full months for each and every CFRN partner to make sure that they not only understand the setups themselves, but the mechanics of putting on, taking off the trade, and all of the psychological stuff that goes along with doing that. But that we were doing one thing that totally runs against counter trend to how we actually trade in our real life in real time. Now, in the trading room, we're trading real money in a real market in real time. Okay? But here's what we've been doing in the past. Bell rings, ding ding, we go in, we start trading, and the setups that appear, we just take them. You know, if it's there, we take it, and we do that for 2 hours. Okay. Because we committed to the partners that we would give them 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 3 months of training. However, what happens on many occasions, more than often, we'll have a couple points, 3 points, spread out between the ES, the YM, and because we, and sometimes that could happen in the first half hour of trading, but because we've committed to training for 2 hours, we just continue to trade, and continue to trade, and continue to trade, and by the end of the session, we very well may have given back those points to the market, or more, the very thing that we're trying to teach our partners not to do. But yet, here we have, and this kind of just dawned on me, that we've been sitting there kind of being a bad example. Not really bad, but, you know, less than good. So, what we're doing now is we're going to go in the mornings in the live trading room. Okay, we're going to trade multiple contracts. We're going to go for 2 points. Once we reach the 2 points, we're then going to switch into another account, which is still real money in a live market, in real time. We're going to trade that, okay? But we're going to beat. And because we call it, if you've noticed in any of our websites, literature, blog posts, whatever, we call it a live trading / training room, okay? So we're going to start the day out in trading mode. Now, there may be days that we have to trade the whole 2 hours. There may be days that at the end of the 2 hours, we genuinely don't have our 2 points. And so whatever those realistic results are, that's what we're going to record and archive, okay? However, on the days where we accomplish the very thing we're attempting to teach the partners, that's to get a couple points and get out, okay? We're going to switch from the trading account to the training account, which again is still real money and a live market. But those results are not archived because now we're just teaching. We're just showing setups. It doesn't matter if it goes to the target or doesn't go to the target. We simply want you, through repetition, to understand how to see the setup. Just like this morning, what was it that a bunch of people popped out with some statement which let us know, Michael, on that one trade setup they were really getting it?
I put a trade, I put an order on when we needed a fresh bubble.
Ah, there you go.
And everybody said, you need a fresh bubble.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. That's where the training part comes in and all of that. So that's why we're doing that going forward. And that's as we'll continue to archive our results, we'll continue to do the recap, okay? And those multiple contracts in real life, okay, when you trade, over time you increase the number of contracts, okay? So, and we teach that you increase those number of contracts with what? Money from Ann Ethel? No. Money you earned in the market, okay? Now, how much money do you have to earn to trade one more E-mini contract? That depends on your margins. Also depends on how you look at it. What is your stop loss? Now, it does take like $500 in margin, roughly, to trade one E-mini contract. If you're trading with a 2-point stop loss, on one contract, the most you can lose is $100. If you're trading two contracts, you can lose $200. If you're trading three contracts, you can lose $300. So the question becomes, if a guy's trading, three contracts, then at what point can he add an additional contract? Does he add it at 300 profit gained or 500 profit gained? We'll be talking about that scenario tomorrow morning in the live trading room. So if you've not taken advantage of the free trial, I heartily encourage you to do so. Okay, go to cfrn.net/apply. That's cfrn.net/apply. Now, if you're the type of person that not only likes a good free trial, but you also like having an opportunity to win a brand new iPad 2, you would go to cfrn.net/iPad, because then you can take the free trial and be entered in our drawing to win an iPad 2, which will be given out the end of this month. Okay. Now, if you've already taken the free trial and you blew it up somehow, some way, you didn't pay attention, you really wish you had, send an email to secondchance@cfrn.net. I'll discuss it with Michael, and if we're in agreement, then we'll let you in for a second chance. Now, we don't do third and fourth chance, okay? It's just, that gets a little ridiculous. However, straight up, if you need a second chance, let us know. We'll talk about it. We'll find out what went wrong, how we can prevent that from going wrong this time, okay? And most likely we can get you in. If you're already a partner, or you've already had two trials, but you still want to win the iPad, you simply need to tell a friend about the drawing, about the free trial. They go over to the page, cfrn.net/iPad. They sign up for the free trial. They put your name in as the person who referred them. And guess what? You get an entry to win the iPad too. Okay? All right. With that, let me check. I got things blinking on my screen. What are they saying? Okay. Well, that's good news and then bad news. Michael, are you gone? Michael's gone.
So we have just about one more minute. About one more minute.
What is this dreadful music drowning out your sales pitch? There is no music playing, sir.
It's on your end.
It's on your end, Robin. So you're playing your own dreadful music, pal. That's all I can say. What is that dreadful music drowning out your sales pitch? That's good.
That is good, though.
Yeah, I got nothing. So
there's a short setting up right here. I don't have any dreadful music playing in my head, anyway. At least not yet.
Imagine his red face when he finds out that it's Robin's good-natured, so he'll laugh about it.
He'll laugh.
Okay. All right. All right, so to end the recap that Michael did, the tally was 2 points. We were trading 3 contracts today. You can do the math, okay? We don't want to, it's not so much about us encouraging you to trade more contracts. We just have to, we're just going to present a more realistic approach to what's going on, okay? Rather than teaching you a bad habit, which is to get up, you know, full of purpose and determination, fresh, go into the market, find a high probability setup, execute it, it goes well, and then you just, you know, for lack of anything better to do, you just keep hammering away at it until you're back to break even or worse. Okay? So, for all partners and everyone on a free trial, the live trading room will be divided now. And we'll let you know when we switch gears from trading mode to teaching mode. Now, in teaching mode, we'll still be trading. Okay? I know people are going to get really confused, and you'll send me a lot of emails to support@cfrn.net, and that's okay. I'll be happy to re-explain it for you in text. Okay? Also, a lot of questions about the swing trader. Man, when are you guys going to launch that thing? I told you at the beginning, I mean, we've had a huge response, just huge, and we're very excited. I told you that we wanted a certain number for our control group. We are close, okay? We're really close to hitting that number for the control group. So, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Tell your friend, tell your neighbor, anybody you know that's interested in trading, to skedaddle, if I can use that term on Christian radio, skedaddle on over to cfrn.net/invitation. That's cfrn.net/invitation, and apply to be a part of the beta. Because once we are full on the beta, we pull the ripcord and we launch. and we send you out your 3 free trade alerts. All right? So, you can wait patiently, or you can go tell a friend and make it happen sooner. It's entirely up to you. All right? Now, with that said, I'll grab the charts back really quick. Because you're taking off, right, Mike?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to take off.
All right. You don't have any trades on, right?
I do not have any live trades on right now. There would be a short right about here right now from the 4-tick range. That looks like a good shorting opportunity right there, but I am not going to take it. We don't have any live trades on.
4-tick range, right. That would be right there. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what he's talking about.
All right,
about.
There's my call.
All
I
right,
gotta
buddy.
Go.
Take care. We'll talk to you later.
All right, we'll see
you. Call
videos
us. How are you doing? Okay. All right, guys. Last night we had a tweet come out. I'll show you that real quick. Then we go to David Williams at PageTrader.com. He gets to tell us about how things went over the weekend. Okay. Last night at 4:56 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we said, ES, consider selling 1268 stop as a trade, not an investment. Okay. Now let me pull this over to here because it was on this candle right here that we got triggered into that trade. Anyone following us on Twitter? Boom. 68. Let me get down to 68. Okay. Got triggered right there. Boom. Now these are hourly candles. All right. So be good for watching this on a smaller time frame. It triggered in at 68. It immediately went in your favor down to 66. So there was an instantaneous gratification 2-point gain, which led me to the next post. It said on the next post, oh, if you didn't get the email, trade like a rat, send me an email, support@cfrn.net, and I'll figure out why you didn't get it, because it's really good, and I really encourage you to read it. Okay. Now, on the ES, I said, 2-point move done. Still in? Make sure you have a hard stop no higher than 1275. If 1264 breaks, the target is 1254. Okay, so I wanted you to have your stop up here. Okay, and then I said if 64 breaks, which it did on this candle here, that the target becomes 54. Okay, nice 10-point move on top of the 4 points you already had, right? Yeah. So making it a 14-point trade. But then I got a little, I came back and I said, all right, are you still in? And I said this at about 11:17 last night when I should have been in bed. I said, are you still in this trade? Consider taking profit here or 64 and a quarter. Then re-enter on a break of 1260 for a potential move to 1254. Or just trail a tight stop. If you just trail the tight stop, you did fine. If you came back in at 1260, okay, you had a 3-point drawdown there, but then you got this, okay, or you went to 1254 and you were satisfied with that. So from top to bottom, it was a 14-point trade as laid out. However, it's gone on to do substantially more. And again, on tweets, I don't always put stops and targets. I typically just give guidelines. But it was 1268 minus, what are we at now, 1245. So the potential was for 23 points if you rode this thing all the way down with some kind of a stop. There was one other quick trade I'll show you, and that one was on the euro. Consider selling 137.05 stop with potential for 50 to 75 point move. Sell 137.05 stop. Okay, price was up here when I put that out. Right here is where we got triggered in at 137.05, and then it did move down more than 75 pips. And I left this old weekly zone here because This is a rare thing, but it's also one of this week's zones. This up here, not a zone. So let's just go and get rid of that. Okay. Now we're breaking below this zone. Things don't look good. A little bearish. I said this morning I was expecting kind of a down move based on the way the YM was acting in comparison to the ES. The YM finally caught up to the ES, and now the ES is dropping again. And so S&P is now down 16 on the day, S&P cash. The NASDAQ is now down, NASDAQ cash down 28. And we're going to, Euro is down 1.5%. Gold's off $8. No, I'm seeing nothing but red. Crude's down $1.66. All right, we're going to pause for a short station identification. And we'll be back with David Williams from PageTrader.com.
Doesn't have to be clipped or anything. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. And how about you, Dwayne?
Yeah. You know, it was a nice weekend. We had a little rain. All in all, no complaints. And I got an email from someone very special who said he was going to call me today, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, you want to go into some detail about that or just leave us hanging?
Chris sent me an email.
Oh, okay, he's very special, yeah.
Yes.
I've only had to ask him three times.
Thank you for doing that, and he was very apologetic, and he said, you know, I've been really busy, but that's no excuse, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to call you on Monday, and so, you know.
Yeah. No, that's Chris for you. He does good work. It's just getting him started on the work or getting him to return a phone call can be difficult.
So funny. It was the last phone conversation we had. He was, like, totally frantic. You got to get this. You got to call that. You got to get this paper documented. Overnight this, fax that. It was like general, on the battlefield barking orders at the troops. And I'm like, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir.
Mm-hmm.
I dotted every I, crossed every T, overnighted fax, da 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 da. And then there's this vacuum of silence for like 3 months.
Yeah, it was really important for you to do that. That's just how it goes. And I hope he picks his pace up a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
how was your weekend? You and the guy had a big weekend.
We had a really wonderful time. I mean, I have to say that the group of people that we had at this Reflected Wave seminar were really sharp, really bright. They asked a lot of questions, almost throwing me off because they were able to follow and catch on so quickly in the first day, because I pace the information out and I want it to be laid out in a certain way. But on the very first day, they were asking questions that would normally, through my experience, would normally be asked on the second day after they had a chance to think about this and stuff. But they just, from what I could see, and I've done several of these, they picked it up very, very quickly, and which made the thing go very, very nicely. On top of that, as usual, there were people from out of the country as well as in the United States, but just what a bunch of nice people. You speak with them because we all eat together. We have lunch together there, and we have a new way of doing that now. We have a much larger room, and the eating area is on its own little area. It's not at the same place where the workstations are and all that. But anyway, it was wonderful. I had a really nice time, and interestingly enough, you can tell when you're having a nice time because you're not tired, you're not burned out. And I wasn't tired or burned out by the time the thing ended. I was pretty darn peppy. So we had a nice time. I'd like to thank, I'm not sure if they're all headed back yet or if they're all home yet or not, but for those of you who are listening on the radio, you know we all had a great time, and I really appreciated the you know, just the camaraderie of it all as well. I mean, the fact is that it's a school. We're teaching something, but there was a lot of really nice, genuine feelings expressed by people towards myself, towards the radio station, towards the methodology, and I told people, I said, you guys are really sharp. And I don't say that to people. I don't give away compliments about people's intelligence or anything like that to, you know, that's not my, I don't want to just say something like that to be gratuitous or whatever. This was a sharp group. There's no question about it. The whole bunch of them were picking the stuff up pretty quick. And that was very interesting, and it kind of almost threw me off a little bit. Because I was like, well, I guess I don't need the first day's worth of information. Let's move on to the second day's information. So the next day I was doing puppet shadows on the wall and some cigarette tricks just to keep people interested. No. So anyway, it was very nice. I had a nice time. You know, we had, all of the usual PageTrader staff was there, myself, Johnny, Maya, Jody, and some really great food. They served up... a really remarkable lunch. They do this. They do a really good job over at the Mirage.
What was the main course?
I'm sorry?
What was the main course?
Well, the first day there were, what was it? I don't remember, but I just remember there was lobster bisque soup.
Yeah.
Tomato bisque soup.
I never had that before. It was good.
It was really good. Yeah, and then wonderful. Just a wonderful meal. I mean, both days, different meals on each day. One thing I can say about the Mirage, I mean, it's a pretty expensive place to do business, but, they do everything right. You know, they handle their end of the deal very nicely. So it was also very busy there. Some of the people that had come had been, are either currently in or had been in the armed forces of some type or another. Several people in the room, I think three of them, actually. And while this went on this weekend at the Mirage Hotel, there were a lot of people who were wounded war vets that had been flown out from somewhere, and they were in Las Vegas to be at a convention, I think, and also to enjoy themselves in Las Vegas. And this was something that was done by some group or something for them. So it was very nice. So as you went through the Mirage Hotel, from time to time you'd see vets in various conditions all throughout the hotel. And so apparently they had a nice time. A lot of them had a nice smile on their face. I talked with a few of them as well. And one of the fellows that, and I forgot to, and I should have said this, because it's something that I hear other people say, but I've never really been a guy to say it. It's for no reason at all, but thank you for your service to our country. Because being a vet, being in the armed forces is no easy road. This is a really difficult thing to do, and you're putting your life at risk and on, and all the things that everybody knows. So I would have liked to have said that right to these people individually right there. But, afterwards, you always think of the things, oh, I should have said that. You know, these are the whole weekend was about vets because they were there from the hospital, like I say, from out of state. And then we had three of them in our thing. So, and it goes without saying, everybody, there can't be a person alive that doesn't appreciate the fact that someone's going out and essentially fighting for your freedom. Because if you don't have somebody to fight for your freedom, other people will take your freedom and they'll put you in a cage. And that's the truth. That's what will happen to you. We have to have, whether you're on the left or the right, whether you like war or you don't like war, I've got news for you. This country better be very well protected at all times.
How does that bumper sticker go? If you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a vet.
Yeah, because without that, without the ability to protect yourself, people will take over. People will come in and do what they do. It goes all the way down to the atomic level, let alone the cellular level where, your body is being tested all the time. Things are trying to get in, and you have your defenses. Things want to get in. Well, If we don't have those defenses and a strong defense and a strong Army, Navy, et cetera, then people are going to get in here and they're going to want to make us their slaves. And so this freedom that we have is bought and paid for every single day,
yep,
because this stuff has to be operating every day. So I'm not trying to be too emotional about it. It's just a powerful truth that someone has to do that work. Somebody has to be there. Otherwise, there has to be an Army. There has to be a Navy. There has to be armed forces. If they have to be powerful, they have to have the respect of our enemies. Otherwise, our enemies are going to do their worst damage to us. Ain't no two gosh darn ways about it. Don't kid yourself and think that people are nice and that they won't do that. They're not nice. People aren't as bad as you think. They're worse.
The whole why can't we just get along thing, I mean, that's a great question. Why can't we just get along? But the truth of the matter is, since time began, we can't. Everybody wants to take what somebody else has, whether it's your land or your woman,
right,
or your gold, your silver, whatever it is. Nobody's happy. What did I read over the weekend? True happiness is... Wait, no. It's something about... blah blah is being happy with what you have. Gosh, I messed that up bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back and I'll figure it out later. In other words, because we're all driven to want something else, you know, maybe it was peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is being happy with what you already have. I think that's how it went. I'll get back to you on that. Do you understand? Because these people that are money hungry, power hungry, whatever hungry you are, besides just, you know, some sushi. Man, that's just, it's, well, you said it all. Now,
yeah,
let's go back to the situation of the vets. According to the president, the die is cast. The majority, if not all of the troops, are coming home, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We already have a pretty wretched unemployment situation in this country. Do you by chance know off the top of your head what the total number of troops returning are? How many troops do we have deployed over there right now?
No, I don't. At one point I did, and I thought we, because I knew we added another 20,000 under Bush, and that brought it probably maybe up to 40,000. But as the years went by here, I don't know how many troops. It's gotten kind of hard to follow. And you don't hear the news on it as you used to, you know, as every day, the war in Iraq, et cetera. So I don't know. But we're bringing home quite a few people, in the thousands.
So in the big picture, it's not going to affect the unemployment numbers perhaps that much. If we're bringing home 40, so another 40,000 people apply, that's just kind of like another day in the life of this country. Keith says you should ask Surrey. How many troops are deployed?
Yeah.
That's good.
He's good. No, he's just poking at me because I told him he's funny. This guy needs to be a stand-up comedian.
He can come on here and crack wise with us any day.
He's a funny man.
Yeah, so
I will. I'll check
point.
With Siri on that, and I'll get back with you.
It may not be some number that, you know, totally blows up the charts or the reporting numbers. However, whether it's 20,000 or 40,000 or however many it is, those are people who just put their life on the line for our country, our freedoms. And some will argue, well, that wasn't our war anyway. Oh, stop. It is what it is. Terrorism is real. People are bad, worse than you think, as David said. Now, those are people that are going to come back to the U.S. Some of them will be able to go back to their old job. But for a lot of them, because of the economy, their old job may not even exist anymore. And I don't know if there's some law that says the employer has to give them, like if they're still in business. Is there a law, David, that says that they have to give them their old job back? How does that work? Do you know?
I don't know. There may be under some conditions. Yes, under some conditions there may be something.
I'm
like
just thinking
that, but I don't know.
Honestly,
I don't know.
A lot of fresh people looking for work. And, you know, I'm going to talk to Michael. I think we should offer some kind of discount for our services to those who are returning and are trying to, you know, because they're going to have a hard time finding work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have done, a tremendous service to our country. So I'm thinking out loud right now. So I'll turn the mic over to you. Caller, go ahead.
No, that's fine. And that's all I'm saying is that I wish I would have said something a little more, but they know, and if they're listening, they know as well, and when I speak with them again. But it is a nice thing to do because there's so much involved in being in the military, so much work, so much risk, so much. It's a burn, it's a slow burn, and it's hard to do, and somebody has to be out there doing that for us. So it's an amazing thing that when everything's taken into account and you look all around you, all the freedoms and all the problems that people have, we have to have a really powerful defensive system in order for us to have the freedoms and the problems that we have, in order for us to have our day-to-day life and all that. So it's no joke. It's serious business. And even the the ordinary terrorists that we've been fighting for, or not so ordinary terrorists that we've been fighting, if those people could, and I actually believe they are in some ways trying to still get a foothold in this country one way or another to try to do whatever it is they want to do, whether that is this slow, gradual thing of taking over and getting their, their religion, shown in the schools or whatever they're doing. They're trying to, if they can't get in one way, they're going to try to get in another way. And for some people, that's just fine. And I don't mind it being here. Muslim people are not bad people. Obviously, they're human beings like anybody else, and et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, I don't want them to be used as a pawn by bad people under the guise that we have to, because people use that against us. They use our freedoms and our open stuff, and they use that against us to get their dirty deeds done. And I want us to be wise enough to know when they're doing that and when they're not.
Dirty deeds, and they're done dirt cheap. Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay.
And if you were a little sharper today,
I know,
that song would have been playing already, and you wouldn't have had to say that.
My computer needs a reboot, but I'm going to take care of that after the show.
Okay. Anyway, so we had a wonderful weekend. I'm back. I'm excited about the markets. I noticed, while we're doing the training, I'm noticing things setting up on the market in various conditions, et cetera. So we'll see if those play out here over the course of the next 2 days here. Anyway, for today, let's take a quick look at the market today. We have a couple of interesting things that have happened today already. One of which is that the market's declined down to 44. And for us, 44 is a level in our support and resistance panel for today. By reaching 44, that tells us that the market is in a weaker position. This is just very broad and general. The market's in a weaker position temporarily here.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I just said that's very spooky.
Or what is spooky?
The numbers just...
Oh.
Numbers are, you really got me fascinated by numbers, David. And so,
well, okay.
I'm gonna come here. I'm gonna come someday. Be your apprentice. Sharpen your pencils.
Okay. And, to learn about. Which part of the? What is it that you want to learn, Dwayne, about numbers?
I got 42, 43. You got 44. I mean, and we arrived at. Mm-hmm. We came up different sides of the mountain to get to that spot.
Definitely, there's no question about it. Today's low is 44.50, so they're right in that zone or right in that area, and they're testing it. One thing of interest also is they were not able to – they did attempt on the overnight to get up to 71, which is a level that I had mentioned on the program last week. The next level above 66, they would run to 71, and the Globex session – did run to 71. We got to 70.75, and they reversed off that level. I would have liked to have seen that tested during the day because it would have been very easy to want to sell that level on a first-time basis because of the importance of that level. And so when we talked about it last week, I mentioned that that would be a very critical juncture, and then above that, believe it or not, is 81. So the 71, they did it on the overnight. With I'm not up, I'm fast asleep, and most people are. So now we're dealing with the aftermath of the 71 being tested and this decline. So we have to just you know, move on to the very next trade that they'll give us here. This morning we attempted a long position earlier in the day and did get stopped out of that long position because the market was able to go down further off of this overnight test of 71. So this is what had put the market in a weaker position early today. The fact that they could break below the initial level of 1250, which is another level in the panel. So they went from 1250 down to the 1244 level, and they're responding off that right now. We're getting a little bit of a bounce off of the 1244 up to 1247 right now. So we'll see how this plays out. I don't have a lot of work. I wasn't able to do work really over the weekend here, but I do want to say for today's session, for those of you who might want to take a shot at this, there's a couple of important things that are coming up a little bit later today, and here they are, or here it is, really. Number one, the completion of 44 is important, and if they stay between 44 and maybe as low as 42, the number that Duane had just mentioned, closing hourly above that, then that will be an important early indication for today's sixth hour to have a bottom. So in other words, if we are testing the 44 level or slightly lower, it doesn't have to be exact in this particular case. If you ask me my preference, I'd like to see worst case them close above 42 on the hourly. But if they do that into today's sixth hour, then I would be looking for the market to have a very tradable reversal off of that and advance nicely, you know, a 10 to 12 point, this is just rough, but 10 to 12 point move off of the then current bottom that is made. So that's something that would occur a little bit later, and I would start to watch for that a little bit later in the day here, because the sixth hour, right now we're currently in the fourth hour, so the very next hour is 1 hour early, okay? And that would be the main setup that I'd be looking for today from this point forward. Additionally, one other thing that I might want to say about this isn't an absolute, but if we are testing, you know, if we were to advance up and test 1250-ish or so, or a little right in that range, or for those of you with reflected wave, we have an advance, maybe in the fifth hour maybe, we can sell that short for the retest of the 1244 level, which would be in the seventh hour, in the sixth hour today, not the seventh hour. So we're two hours away from that, 2.5 hours, something like that. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm stumbling a little bit here in explaining that, but essentially we're looking for the market to test 44. The first part of this is we'd like to see the market test 44 in today's sixth hour, plus or minus an hour. And then the bottom that's made in that time frame will be very usable for a tradable advance and a decent size advance, 10, 12 point advance off of that low at that time. And then prior to that time, if we advance up, we could sell short carefully because there's a few things that, like always, there's always something that can twist it around, but we might be selling short against that low, or short against a rally for a retest in today's fifth or sixth hour of 44. So that would be something to keep an eye out for. Because of what they did this morning was a little unusual, the break of 50 and the test of 44, it has a little bit of unusual to it. I do want to use caution and definitely use the stop when trading short if you're going to do that, including trading long as well in later today when they put the bottom in. But just be careful with this because there is a small possibility that prior to the sixth hour that we could rally up and be retesting some of the levels substantially higher, like 56, et cetera, prior to then. So in other words, just be careful with this. The safe trade is to wait and let the market put in the bottom in the sixth hour. A more aggressive trade is to short it as it rallies for a decline and retest of 44. So put that, you know, we can put that together, or you can hopefully use some of that information in putting a trade together. And Duane, some of the people also, I just wanted to mention that while we were doing the seminar, were excited about you know, having the discussion with the Random Walk on Wall Street author, Mikkel or Michael, whatever his first name is, coming up in January. So they're looking forward to that.
Hey, David.
Yes.
The Random Walk. You know, I sent out an email last night that you're probably on the list, but you're probably so busy you didn't get a chance. And it's only like two paragraphs. And I said earlier, if anybody didn't get it and wanted to read it, they could let me know. But because it speaks about something random, but it's a different kind of random, if you can humor me for 2 minutes, I would like to share that with you and the audience for those who did not receive it.
Whatever you'd like to do.
Could we do that?
Go ahead.
Would that be okay
with
you?
Of course.
Okay. All right.
With me, it's fine.
I bring it up. Okay, trade like a rat. I found this really fascinating. A rat was put in a T-shaped maze with a few morsels of food placed on either the far right or far left side of the enclosure. The placement of the food is randomly determined, but the dice is rigged. Over the long run, the food was placed on the left side 60% of the time. How did the rat respond? It quickly realized that the left side was more rewarding. As a result, it always went to the left, which resulted in a 60% success rate. The rat didn't strive for perfection. It didn't search for a unified theory of the T-shaped maze or try to decipher the disorder. Instead, it accepted the inherent uncertainty of the reward and learned to settle for the best possible alternative. And then I editorialized with trade like a rat. This one, not this one. The experiment was then repeated with Yale undergraduates. Unlike the rat, their swollen brains stubbornly searched for the elusive pattern that determined the placement of the reward. They made predictions and then tried to learn from their prediction errors. The problem was there was nothing to predict. The randomness was real because the students refused to settle for a 60% success rate. They ended up with a 52% success rate. Although most of the students were convinced they were making progress towards identifying the underlying algorithm, they were actually being outsmarted by a rat. Now,
that's good.
Okay, now I'm not saying the markets are random. That's not what I'm saying here. You made a comment on Friday, I believe it was, or Thursday. You said, although I figured this one thing out, or I know these few things really, really well, you said there may come a day when something is unearthed or shown or comes to light that in fact shows me that what's the thing you do with the little guy and the guy's pants cuff, the legs swinging back and forth?
What's the story about it? Where he's there, he's trying to understand the movement of the pants cuffs because he lives on the inside of your knee, like on the backside of your leg behind your knee. He's trying to understand the movement there, and he's coming up with all kinds of theories and predictions for it, and when that thing is going to move, but he never realizes that it's connected to a whole human being, and that all of his predictive cycle work and theory work and everything else that he's working on has really no meaning at all, because he doesn't understand the bigger picture, which is that the reason why the thing that he's watching is moving is that it's connected to a human being, and it's connected to a whole thing that he's not even aware about. So his ability to understand it and come up with theories falls apart. And then when he realizes that it's connected to a human being, you know, this is a little man that lives on the inside of behind your knee, that little space inside your knee there, and he's just trying to study the movement of the leg. That's all he can see because he's underneath there. He can't see above and behind your leg and see your face and all that. He just sees all that he can see, and he's studying his whole life to try to understand this whole phenomena of this big thing that's moving all the time that he has to live with. He's subject to that thing moving. And so he comes up with all these theories and comes up with cycle theories. Maybe he comes up with reflective wave, whatever it is. He comes up with something to explain to himself the why, the when, and the how of the movement of that leg. But all of that doesn't really do him much good until he realizes that that he doesn't even know that it's a leg that he's looking at, and later he realizes that it's all connected to a whole human being and that all of those movements are really related to a whole completely different universe of things going on, and therefore all of his theories and things were really just based on a very limited view of the world. So go ahead.
Okay. I just found that to be a really interesting story. It is a real study. I don't know, I guess people can take away from that whatever they want to take away from it. The market was, it was not random, because the people putting the cheese in there actually did put it on the left-hand side 60% of the time. It's just that the participants didn't know that. But the rat, given his simple nature, figured out really quickly that going to the left gave him a better shot at getting the cheese quicker than going to the right. And so he didn't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not trying to detract in any way from your work or from my own work or from the work of any technical analyst based on a rat study. I just found it kind of fascinating, and it gave me a lot of food for thought. That's why I shared it.
Well, there's
a
great deal of efficiency in not trying to... I mean, nature is also very efficient. Maybe rats don't have... I don't want to say that this is the case, because I happen to think that animals are extremely smart. Mm-hmm. A lot more intelligence is there than I think most people would realize. But let's just say, for an example, that the rat understands intuitively, innately, that he's not capable of the kind of thought necessary to discern all these things. So he just takes a very efficient route, and that efficiency is built into him as well. He just goes, okay, I'll settle for the 60%. And man, on the other hand, may have a greater intelligence. I only say may because I don't know what really what animals are capable of.
Right.
But he may have a greater, let's just assume he has a greater capacity for abstract thinking, and therefore, you know, makes every attempt. Now, a person could say, I could make many arguments that there's many things that man didn't understand originally, might have thought were random, and other men came along and figured stuff out, and therefore now we have the whole science of medicine, where in the beginning somebody might have thought, well, it's just random when somebody gets sick, or it's just, whatever you want to call it. Maybe it's, you know, maybe the word random is correct. And then we found out about medicine, and we realized we can do something about it. And in every endeavor, look at what man has done with what was originally thought to just be forces of nature or random or et cetera. Thought, the process by which man makes these advances, has gone into fantastic detail and been able to produce all of the accomplishments that we now live with. So... I understand what the argument that you're making in the thing there, and I myself, that story was my own story about the man living behind the knee, and I put myself in that position because I know that there's probably a much bigger thing going on that I'm not completely unaware of, and that I'm not seeing the whole picture, and so I'm very aware of that. Having said that, the little bit that I do see and do understand, I am able to demonstrate.
Right. And
I'm not sure that you can exactly demonstrate randomness the same way that you can demonstrate non-randomness. I'm not positive about that. I know there's statistical things involved there that I'm not schooled in that. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, and whatever little guy figures out about the swinging leg will probably pan out fine until the guy crosses his legs or gets up and goes for a drink of water. You follow me?
And so, right. And he's always trying to figure out, living under there, why those things are happening, because he doesn't know that it's connected to a human being who's thinking in completely different order of ways to the man who's just dealing with trying to live his life under there, under the back of your knee, and trying to figure out what the hell this thing is that keeps moving and disrupting him, and when to expect that to happen and all that. That's his whole life view, and he doesn't see that that's really just a piece of a much larger thing that's moving and et cetera. So And, you know, again, and I told the people at the seminar, you know, this isn't for me to get into a big fight with anybody over this. I really am interested to hear what his take on it is. And we'll see. You know, I'm looking forward to it as well. And you know I'll be just the nicest little person to him, Dwayne, because you know me and love me as a nice person.
Yes, that is true.
See?
That is absolutely true. Okay, recapping the ES, I know that you're probably tired from the weekend and you haven't had a chance to do a lot of work, but if we could just kind of recap. Somebody said the volume cut out on them when you were talking.
Oh, okay.
You said in the fifth hour, potentially a move higher, is that?
No, actually, the sixth hour today would normally produce a bottom.
Okay.
And we're already at the level. See, this is one of the unusual things. We're already at the level early today, down at 44. The reason why 44 is important today in our work is because it's a number that would normally be associated with the sixth hour. So that's one of the reasons that 44 is in our support and resistance panel, because it's associated with a particular period of time for today. Now, having said that, we've reached the 44 level early. And so this would imply that the market will either go sideways into the sixth hour, move up or down a little bit, and then test it or touch that level. But either way, normally that would be a bottom in the sixth hour that they've done early. So the early part is a little unusual. We're, you know, more than 2 hours or a little more than 2 hours off of that mark. So they've come down early to do that. That's one of the reasons we bought the market earlier, because normally you would see a little bit more of an advance, and then later they would go down and obviously, you know, into the sixth hour, we'd be expecting a decline. So they've done all of that early. And one of the caveats that I would add to this, though, like I said before, well, first of all, once we get to that, if we do touch that level, then that we're looking for a bottom in that time frame normally, and then a reversal up. So that's an important time period either way to look for. You might even think of it in terms of buying or selling the breakout from the high or the low on the sixth hour. And I realize we're running out of time at that point on the day, and you'd have to consider holding a position into overnight, and I'm not sure that's something that you want to do. I don't do that right now. I'm not holding positions on Globex right now. So
Well, just because of the volatility.
I'll
tell you what we do. We don't hold during that 15-minute period when the market closes. But we do sometimes initiate positions on Globex. Okay?
Yeah.
In other words, like I don't go long 30 minutes into the close and then hold over that period. And the reason I do it is purely has to do with the margins that are involved. That's it's not anything. I don't want anybody to think there's, you know, well, he wants to see how the market's going to reopen. Is it going to gap lower or higher? Well, no, it's none of that. It's purely a margin issue.
Yeah. Dwayne, you're cutting out back and forth. I don't know if this is an issue on your end or maybe if it's something to do
David,
I'm wondering if other people are hearing that.
Yeah, well, you were cutting out as well.
Okay.
So
it might be something with GoToMeeting.
It may be, but I also know that my computer needs to be rebooted. So as soon as this show's over today, I'm going to do a complete reboot and reboot the routers and all of that.
I think you need to go to a shoe store and get rebooted yourself, because last time I saw you, I looked down at your shoes and I was thinking, those look old. That's the first thing that kind of struck me, is that this guy is not right on top of the latest shoe fashions.
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, I have brand new fancy shoes that I wear whenever I do a public appearance. So he's pulling your leg. Okay, just going to say that. Now, moving on. I had a pair of Tony Lamas. They were the most awesome pair of boots ever. For those of you that know anything about boots, Tony Lamas are your upper end boot. They're not a Jimmy Choo, but, you know, for men, it's a nice shoe or boot. And I had those things resold probably because, I mean, it's a spendy pair of shoes, but I wore them for years and years. And the only thing that wears out on a boot is the bottom. And so I had those things resold and rehealed three, four times. I mean, I really got my money's worth out of those things. In fact, the only reason I ever stopped wearing them was because one night I pulled my boots off and I looked down at my feet and my feet went into a point. And I was like, it's time to come out of the boots.
Yeah, that could be the time.
True story.
There you are.
All right.
Well,
any other markets you want to cover?
Yeah, we'll take a quick look around. I didn't get a chance to do all the stuff we normally do, but we'll take a quick look. Let's take a quick look at some of the other markets that are trading today. I could have made several jokes about your shoe story, but I decided just to let that go.
I might have been wearing flip-flops. I don't remember. I was either wearing flip-flops or brand-new white tennis shoes, because that's how I roll. It's one or the other.
That's nice.
You either saw my bare feet or you saw some surgically white tennis shoes. That's a problem with tennis shoes. Surgically white, they're awesome. A little scuff, not so awesome. And the scuffs never really come off. So,
okay.
All right.
Well, Dwayne, this is a program about the markets.
No.
And
really?
What I was going to do is just get on right to the next market thing. If you want, right after we're done, you can do a quick shoe program.
So you're saying you want to start the show now?
Let's do that. Okay. Let's get over to gold here real quick.
Oh, I thought you fooled.
But yeah, no, your shoes were very nice last time I saw you. So let me just say for the record that Dwayne is well healed.
Oh my goodness, that's good.
He's got a lot of soul.
Oh, that's
his wife is at the Chew store. Jimmy Chew. Okay, I'll shut up. We talked about gold last week, and November 14th as being the next important potential turning point for gold.
That's today.
That would be today. And they tested some important levels on the upside. No big deal here, but this can be a big deal. This can actually be a pretty important turning point. If they confirm by closing down, I would trade this. I would want to take, let's see, today's high was 1797. I would want to go trade this down to at least 1762 just for starters. And we've gotten down today to 1774. So if you wanted to, you could, this is kind of an off-the-cuff idea, you could utilize today, November 14th, as a turning point date. You could utilize 1795, perhaps, as an hourly close. Continued hourly closes below that level will keep this trade intact. And then sell any bounce. For those of you who have a reflected wave, sell a reflected wave bounce. For those of you utilizing maybe Dwayne's work or some other method, get short for a continued decline and test of 1762 anyway as a minimum downside target. So we're trading right now at 1777. You know, that's roughly 15 points that you could possibly get or more on a decline. This would probably require an overnight position as well. But that's a trading idea for you to consider in this market right now.
Okay.
So how's that, Dwayne?
No, that's good.
That's a little something for people to think about. Then we also talked about this week, the week of November 14th, being the next important top for gold. So now we're only on Monday, and so we don't want to make the assumption just yet that the weekly chart has, you know, put it in 1 week early. But just keep that in mind. This is something that's important because it's a weekly turning point. It's a larger turning point, and we'll have a larger multi-week reversal off of this.
Here's a weekly chart for those interested.
Yeah, there we are. So, and we talked about this all last week, the November 14th date itself plus the date of the week of November 14th. So,
okay, and so from a weekly standpoint, this is the on-time week.
This is the on-time week.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right, okay.
So, it is possible that the whole thing just got done on November 14th today as a top and the market continues down. That's why I'm saying that the minimum, you could trade this short for a minimum down to 1762 at or near that level and then potentially substantially lower prices. I didn't do work over the weekend on this, so I'm really just looking at this and eyeballing it in real time and giving you just a general idea of what you might expect here. We had called for the euro to bottom on November 9th. They came one trading day late last week on November 10th. We had a pretty decent advance from 134.84 up to 137.95, about 300 pips off that low, if I've got that right. And the market today has reversed and is selling off from there. I don't have anything new on this but we will. This has some important dates coming up. The euro is, you know, I want to say this again. The euro is a particularly, maybe because so many people are involved in it and it has so much worldwide attention, it's a currency, but it's very, very accurate with its turns and its, you know, the cycles and everything, whatever you want to call them. It responds well to all of that. And so I'm, you know, I really like this market. I like the euro market, and I think it's very tradable, very understandable. And it is also a market that, one of the very few markets that I will use the overnight market in all of my work. You know, anything that I'm looking at, I include the overnight market when I'm dealing with the euro.
We had a tweet last night to sell 137.05 on a stop in the euro.
Okay.
And you're right. Yeah. And we've got a number of partners who, man, they really like trading the euro.
Yeah. No, I do too. I really enjoy, I enjoy the market. Is, it's almost like the BMW, so to speak, of markets in a way, because, you know, BMWs handle so well and they're so, you know, you turn the steering wheel and the whole car responds so nicely. This market responds very efficiently and very quickly to inputs and to cycles and to all the things that we all look at. It just seems to be a very in-tune market. So I really enjoy it. And I've, you know, I didn't start trading it, to be honest with you. I wasn't even looking at the euro until we started all talking about it on the program, Dwayne. You know, you guys had been looking at it and trading it before me, and then we got involved in it.
Yeah.
And my first really, you know, really sizable trade, or for me, a sizable trade, was when we had the larger move down from the August 22nd weekly top. And since then, I've really enjoyed looking at the market and forecasting the market and seeing how reliable it is with the way that it works in, you know, the terms that we think about it in. So, were you going to say something, Dwayne?
Yeah, I was going to say one of the reasons that we started to look at the other markets was because we went through that period in the ES where volatility just took a hike, man. The markets were so flat, and we began to look at, you know, at the euro, and we looked around at different places. And now I'll say this too, I don't think I've ever actually put on a British pound trade, but the British pound and the euro have a lot of similarities. And so that's something, you know, I know you have a lot of free time, David.
Oh, I sure do.
you might look at that sometime. I don't think it has the volume and participation that the euro has, but you might see something there you like. Kind of like, I think, once you have time to look at the Dow, I think you'll like that too, the Dow E-mini, the YM. It's a different symbol on your platform, but I know you have it. So.
Yeah, no, I have it. I definitely have it. And that's about it. I think for the markets today, that is really about all I have right now. I'm going to save anything. I have a few other things. You know, I've always have something extra I can throw in, but I think just to be safe and not to confuse anybody, I'll leave it at that for the time being, and we'll wait for later in the week when I can put it together a little bit better, you know, get some time to look at the markets and all that. And really sit down with it, because part of what I like to do, and maybe this is a little insight for people, is, and I know people do this, we all look at the markets after the close, or, you know, once you've had a few hours away from it, you come back and you can kind of look at it freshly and relaxed. You're not trying to think. Have you ever noticed that you don't, you know, when you're in the market or when the market's open and you're in front of it, you're in a kind of a different frame of mind, aren't you, than you are that if the market's not really trading and you can just relax and look at it and play with some ideas and stuff. That's kind of how I am when the market's trading now. I'm still kind of very relaxed and looking at it and just sort of playing with it. I don't have such a big divergence in my own a viewpoint of the market as I used to when I, you know, the difference between it actually being open and then my view of it at that time and when it's closed. And the reason is because I, for all the things I've said so many times, that I'm very relaxed about this. I don't chase it, and I really mean that. It's not just a thing to say. It's really how I think about it. And so I wait and I just relax and look at it. So one of the things that I wanted to say was, you know, I've said this at the seminar this weekend, no matter who you look at, no matter what skill set they have, whatever great thing they're doing, it's highly likely that you have that skill set, maybe not as developed perhaps, in whoever you're looking at, but that skill set exists in you in some other area of your life. You happen to be very good at something. You happen to manage something very well. You happen to manage risk in some other area of your life. You happen to manage reward very well in some other area of your life. And so there's no need to idolize people and say, oh, I mean, it's great to say, hey, here's somebody, you know, here's this great musician, or here's a great artist, here's a great whatever, trader, as an example, even. But you don't have to idolize him in the sense of thinking that he has something that you don't have or she has something that you don't have. You probably have what they have in another area of your life. And that's why it's good to think about these things and realize that, hey, you know, I do some things really well in other areas. I just have to learn to transfer that and realize that I have that skill. I just have to move it over here to trading. And so I think what I was going to say was that, you know, when you look at the markets and they're not trading, they're not really open other than Globex, have you noticed that you have a different feeling and a different attitude towards the market? You're much more comfortable and you see things a little clearer maybe and all that. That's where you want to be when the market is open. That's my best way of describing how you want to feel, at least in my opinion, how it has helped me. Just the same way that you feel, this is a good example. You're already feeling the thing I'm trying to tell you about. You feel it when the market's closed. That's how I feel when it's open. That same way. Very relaxed. Just that relaxed. See, so that's an example of the fact that you don't have to go, well, I don't understand what he's saying when he says he's relaxed, he's not thinking about money. No, you do understand it. It's how you feel when the market's closed. And you just happen to be sitting in your office and you're just looking at the charts, just kind of flipping through them and thinking about things. That's how I feel when the market is open. So there, I hope that helps as a way of you seeing that, you know, you already are doing that in a different area. It just happens to be when the markets are closed. That's how I pretty much feel when they're open. That relaxed, that playful, that just kind of light-spirited looking, kind of playfully thinking about something and, oh, maybe if this happened here, I would, you know, this would be a good thing and this, that, and the other, that kind of thing. So we talked about that on this weekend a little bit as well. So, Dwayne, I think for today, that's everything we've got. I would be careful with any of the stuff that we talked about. You know, this is just general stuff that I have not had a chance yet to really fully put together. But I mentioned with regard to the ES that if the market does just bounce off this 44 and just go straight up, then we'd be looking for 56. That's where they would go to in today's sixth hour. So just in case they really start to run up and break through an area, there may be a trade that you can put on. If it looks like a legitimate breakout happened, that you could maybe put on the upside.
You're saying up to 56?
Up to 56.
Because we're, what are we at right now, 49?
We're at 49, and they're attempting higher here. Because all of this stuff we're talking about, we still have, we're just finishing this hour now, so we have 2 hours left for the next important point here. So we'll see. Let's let them, 56 is a decent chunk up there from here. Let's see what they're able to do on the upside. And again, for anybody who came to the seminar, it was wonderful meeting people. We had a really nice time. It was a very calm and very easy seminar. The people were very bright. They asked very advanced type questions right out of the box, and we got right down to business, or very astute questions is better than that. And everyone that I spoke to, and I always make it a point to speak to everyone, said they got it. And it's funny, when you're speaking to people and you're in front of people, and you may or may not know this as a speaker, you're looking out at the audience and they're looking at you. Mm-hmm. And some people quite naturally give you a face that is it's interacting with you. And some people will look at you and they give you a face that looks less interactive, like they're just staring at you. But it really, people sometimes are not conscious of what their faces are doing. So when I would go up and talk to people who I thought were just sort of staring off and not really looking directly or getting eye contact, that sort of thing, they just lit up like a light bulb. Oh, no, it's wonderful. I got it. And, you know, so you really cannot judge people by how they look when they're absorbing new information, because some people look very, like they're right with you there and they're giving you a little nod or whatever they're doing to, make it clear that they're with you. And other people don't give you any of that. But it doesn't mean that they're not getting it. And it was really, you know, that was another thing that I've seen in all these seminars, because I'm not a public speaker, except on this radio program. And it was it's interesting. And those of you who have done public speaking, you definitely know what I'm talking about. You're standing in front of a group, and some people might even look like they're hostile towards you. But they may not be hostile at all. They may be loving what they're hearing. Their face muscles have just completely relaxed, and they're just listening to what you're saying. And then later when you speak with them, you find out, oh, well, no, this guy was really getting it, and he's right on top of it.
Sometimes it's too much Botox.
Yeah, and then that could be it, too. Yeah, they might have just had a recent Botox treatment.
They can't smile if they wanted to.
Maybe we could have a convention of Botox, an audience filled with Botox users, and that would be an interesting thing to do some public speaking in front of, because they can't show you any expression.
A good presenter who's not reading from his slides, or his deck, as it's called, will attempt to read the audience. And typically, depending upon how big your audience is, up front you'll find a couple of people that are fairly readable, or at least they appear to be readable. Now, you could be wrong, like the guy who looks like he's not getting it really is, and the guy who looks like, and the opposite of that, the guy that's not, that looks like he's not getting it really is, and the guy who looks like he's getting it, that could be his "I'm going to cut you" look. See, you got to be careful. You don't want to get too close to the audience. So if you can pick out those couple of faces that appear to be easily readable, I play to those faces. You know, I look at the whole audience, and I go from, you know, blah blah whole thing, but these are like my joy meters up front. You know, when I see one of them light up, then I'll hammer that point 3 times in a row, because it made this one's face go ding ding ding. So I'm going to say it 3 times now to make sure the guy way in back gets it, if it's gettable for him. It might not be. It might be on a whole different wavelength than where he's at. But I'm going to give everybody in the room an opportunity to get what this one just got, you know. And if I have something that I think is really good and my 2 meters up front show me nothing, I'm quickly on to the next slide. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
From How to Make Your Presentation Suck Less.
By Dwayne Reeves.
No, actually, not by me. By someone I have a lot of admiration for. So much so that I send my closest friends copies of their podcast.
Oh. Well, Dwayne, thank you for having me on the program today. We'll put it together a little better tomorrow.
Did I bore you, Dave Williams?
What's that?
Did I bore you?
No. And I think the audience would agree with me that you have never bored us. You've always been fascinating.
Man.
A pocket of pure intelligence and wisdom, you are.
I'm so glad you stumbled into my life, or vice versa, however that happened.
Oh, well, thank you, Dwayne. I've had a great thing. I just want to mention another thing. I've noticed this because of speaking on the radio for 6 years, that when people meet you, because they've listened to your voice, they've listened to you, they might have laughed with you at something, you may have given them a point that they liked and remembered. A number of things happen when people listen to you on the radio. I'm just a regular guy, and people know when they come to the seminar, they can see that about me. But because you're on the radio, it adds a little bit of star quality to the factor that when people meet you, they've been listening to you, and they haven't really put together the face with the voice. You know, in many ways, they've not been able to do that, even though you have a very handsome picture of me there on your site. The fact is they haven't been able to do that. And so it changes people's perceptions about you and gives you a little bit of that star quality because people haven't seen you yet. But I think people are surprised and pleased with, I'm not saying this to be bragging, but how normal and easygoing I really am in person, and that I'm not really a star. I'm just an ordinary person that really loves, like they do, markets. I've discovered something. I'm able to demonstrate it and show it, and I happen to be teaching it for a period of time here. But the really nice thing in the end is that these people have a very powerful interest in the markets, obviously. They really want to learn something new and usable. And it is a pleasure to see somebody get something. Any teacher will tell you this, that when the student says, whoever they're teaching, whether you don't even have to think of it as teachers and students, you're just teaching something. You're getting an idea across to someone. And when they get it, oh, you know, and then, oh, okay, then they make a note and write it down. there's some real satisfaction in that. And then to see when they leave, they're excited, they want to go home, they want to put all this to work. That's a really nice, it's a very pleasant feeling. It really is. I would want that feeling for free. I wouldn't, you know, if I could get that feeling, I mean, in this particular case, you know, it's a business and we're revealing information, it's licensed and all these other things, and there's expenses involved. But in reality, ordinary teaching, when anybody who's done this, when you're telling something to someone and they get it, there's a sense of satisfaction. Even when you tell a joke, as an example, and somebody laughs, that's a form of teaching. You've taught them how to see something so they see it funny and then they laugh, and you feel that satisfaction in them getting it. And there's ever so much more of that when you teach something to someone and oh, I see, now that's interesting, and they write the little thing down, and then, you know, you can see they're getting excited about putting that to work. It's pure pleasure doing that. And I've said this 1,000 times on the show, I think the teachers end up learning just as much as the students do. And I definitely, every one of these seminars I've given, I've coming back with an excited feeling myself, like, hey, because I got my own ideas while I was teaching. Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. You know, I said something and, you know, it triggered something in me. So it is really fun to teach. It really is. And I really enjoy doing it. And, you know, we'll continue as long as we can. But I've enjoyed the seminars, and I hope that what I've told you on your radio program so many times is I've said I'm pretty good at this, and we'll let the listeners decide if that's what the case is. But I think I am, and I enjoy seeing if they're getting it, I think I'm doing a good job of giving it to them. And so that feels really nice. There
and
you are.
And you are a gracious host.
I'm not the host. I'm the guest. No, oh, you're a guest. I'm the host for them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, in real life, this is just radio.
That's right. And I have really good posture.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Don't forget to throw that in.
Now, that's true. I wanted to say thank you for being a part of this radio program. You will not be doing any additional seminars this year.
Right? We're through with seminars this year. Okay. I'm not sure what next year is going to bring yet.
Okay, here's what I want. You want to take requests?
Do I want to take a request? Sure, I'll sing some songs.
No,
give me the one.
Consider. You talked earlier. You said, "Oh God, what did you say? 54 would be the natural number in the sixth hour." Is that what you said?
No.
You say?
It's the what we were looking for under normal conditions. This today. Let me just repeat the whole little bit.
Okay.
Normally today, the market would be testing 1244 in today's sixth hour.
Oh, and it got there early.
And we got there early.
Okay.
And that's why earlier in the day we wanted to buy for a bounce and then a later short. That was how I viewed it in my mind for the decline to 44. The way that they've done this by doing 44 early, it leaves the market with the possibility of advancing now to 56 in the sixth hour. So any short position that you take, you want to be, as we always are, careful with that. Use a stop just in case they are going to do the 56. So you can see that the way that the fact that 44 has been completed early now opens the door for 56 to occur in the sixth hour. So that's a slightly different scenario, obviously, than having the market put in a bottom early today up at 50, bounce, and then later today we would short it down to 50 to 44 in the sixth hour. Kind of hard. Verbally, it doesn't, you know, it's easier to see when you have it laid out. But that's why 56 is now sort of available for the possibility of an advance here. And it means that we want to be careful on putting a short position on. And I would definitely wait for a reflected wave top to be put in at least the on-time bar, because we're now advancing up, A, and B, that we're moving out in time towards the sixth hour today. We're running out of time. We're getting, you know, we're less than an hour away from starting it.
Right.
Does that make it clear?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, it does. And I'll talk with you more about it in private. Remember I told you we were trying to get our corn out of the field, and it kept raining, and we were afraid that, you know, with all the rain, corn was going to mildew in the field, et cetera?
I think you've said something about that, yeah.
Yeah. Look at this. This is
all
our
right.
truck we bought, or our tractor that we rented, because our truck couldn't cut it. We got to use the tractor to get it to the truck. Look at the mud.
Wow.
That's how much it's rained there. Now, this is after a drought. A drought where nobody's crops grew, right? It comes time to harvest the crops. Then here comes the rain. Look at the guys riding in the back here. Look at those smiles. It's raining. There's mud everywhere, man. But you know what? They at work. And they're happy. Oh,
they're
while I've got your attention, I got to show you. This is my week. You asked me what I did this weekend? Okay, that was Saturday morning. Me and my little girl. We went to Starbucks. Let's see. That would be a sweet treat Saturday with Dad. Okay. And this was the wedding I had to do on Friday. And that's my boy. And there's a little girl. Now, this one.
Both kids look good. They both look, I'm glad to see that you're feeding them. See, they look well fed and well maintained.
When I tweeted this, I did it wrong. It says, my son is in the wedding, not a gang. I meant to say, my son is in the wedding, not the mob.
Okay.
Very mob-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great picture. Good-looking kid.
Yeah. No, he is. Kid. Both of them. The girl was adorable.
Oh,
so.
Love him. Just love him.
Yeah, that's nice.
Changed
do you serve
David
corn
Wade
at the house? Is that, or is that just for the people in...
No, that's just for third world countries.
Third world countries, okay.
Yeah. Oh, we fast a lot here. No.
All right.
Look at that. You know, is there anyone in the audience that, like, got some Hollywood connections? I think this kid, you know, could be the next big thing. I don't know. Him and his sister. We could do a family show. I'll be on it. I'll be the weird dad with long hair. Okay. Anybody? Any takers? All right. All right, David, I'll let you go. I know you got a life to live outside of me.
All right. Well, Dwayne, thank you for having me on the program. And for the listeners, I'll plan on seeing you tomorrow.
True story.
All right. Thanks again.
All right.
I'll see you soon.
Namaste, Davey.
Okay. Thank you. You too, Dwayne. Bye-bye.
Robert, you are so funny, the Trading Sopranos. Well, there was actually a couple of episodes of the Sopranos where the guy, he became a cop on that show, Detroit 387 or whatever that show was. That I don't know if that got canceled or not. It was pretty good. But he ran a boiler room calling people to get them to buy stocks. That was a segment of The Sopranos. And no spoilers now, because I never saw the final episode. In fact, I never saw it in real time. I just always saw like the reruns when they would come on. And they never had them synced up. So I would see something, and then it would jump ahead two episodes, then go back three. It was crazy. But anyway, I have a general idea what happened. Nothing nice. And it's a little raw, and I don't recommend it as, you know, TV watching. Sometimes I come on here and I recommend a show. I say, hey, that's really good. No, Netflix doesn't have it because it was done by HBO. And Netflix and HBO have not figured out a way to make nice yet. But there is this new thing called HBO On The Go, which gives you access to anything HBO has ever done on all your mobile devices, your iPhone, Android, iPad, you name it. But the clincher is you've got to have HBO at your house. You know, you have to have a subscription to HBO to be able to use the HBO On The Go app. And we canceled our HBO quite a number of years ago because we just never watched it. And a lot of the stuff on there wasn't, quite frankly, worth watching. You know, it was kind of like one of the adult movies or something for much of this. Although they had some really good stuff. Like the one about the Revolution. Gosh, what was the name of that one? God, that was great. I forget the name of it now. But then there was just some garbage. So anyway, it was $10 a month that we didn't want to throw away. You know, we figured we could do something positive with that $10. So, not being cheap, just being prudent, smart. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Hopefully I've answered all your questions today. If not, you can always reach me, support@cfrn.net. I'm going to reboot everything, so hopefully there will be no garbled or dropped packets tomorrow. And hopefully that's all there is to the problem. Okay? And so I'll do that before I meet with you tomorrow. This move here, okay, this move up to the 56, we got to this early. You know, here's what I would like to see to get long. I'd like to see this thing pop down to maybe 42, 43, and then selling it for a rally up into that 56 area. I don't know. I'm not sure about 56. In fact, if we just continue to climb here, okay, if we just continue to climb, I might get interested in selling 53 for a decline to put in a new low on the day. I mean, we've kind of been stair-stepping our way down here. I think Mike Reed's term for this would be a slinky. Can you see the slinky falling off the first step, second step, third step, fourth step? Potentially closing the market today somewhere around, not there, around Hearsville. Okay? All right. If you have any questions about being a partner, you know, support@cfrn.net. If you have questions about the platform, the live data feed, so when you take the free trial, you don't just get 2 hours a day for 5 days in the live trading room. When you take the free trial, you get the full Monty. You get the platform. You get the indicators. You get the live data. You get data for the S&P E-mini, the Dow E-mini, the Russell. Goodness gracious. You get the currencies. You get corn. You get copper. You get gold. You get silver. You get lumber. You get live cattle. If there's a futures market traded, you get live data, not delayed, and you get a real-time simulator. And in the morning, when you're in the, when we got the live trading room going, and you've got your platform up and running as part of your free trial, you're able to shadow along, shadow trade with Michael or myself, whoever's doing the trading on that day. You're able to shadow trade and really get an idea of what it's like to put on and take off the trades using these charts, this platform, this DOM. So at the end of a week, you know whether you're comfortable with that or can become comfortable with that. Now, I know this is a hang-up for some folks, changing platforms, okay? Changing charting platforms is like, whoa, big deal. Now, although I've had a few different brokers, okay, in other words, people that I executed my trades through, I've had a few of those in the 5-6 years I've been trading futures. With equities, I always use the same people, but for futures, I've had a few different brokers. Now, switching from broker to broker was not a big deal until I switched to Burton Leslie, because that was a whole new experience, which opened up a world of opportunities that I didn't even know existed, because none of the other brokers ever bothered to tell me. But switching charts, that can be a huge issue for some people, because you've become so accustomed and so ingrained and, oh, I know how to do this and I know how to backtest. And when I switched charts from TradeStation to DT Pro, there was a learning curve for me. There was a bump in the road. I said things like, ah, this feels clunky. It's this, it's that. Now I have access to both. And guess what? My go-to chart is now DT Pro. Do I still use TradeStation occasionally to look something up or to do something that I learned how to do over there that I haven't taught myself how to do over here? Yeah. I want to look at a continuous contract. Do I pop in over there? Yeah. But for, you see the charts I use, the ones I put up, when I post pictures, when I go to the blog, when I post pictures on the Twitter, because these are the charts I trade from. So The only thing that's going to get you over that hump, and I believe it's a hump you want to get over, number one, you want to execute through Burt and Leslie because you're not going to get a better deal anywhere. And it's not just about the money or the commissions. It's about the follow-up service that you get. When you dial 866-928-3310 during normal business hours, they're going to answer the phone, in most cases, by the third ring. It's not going to be some outsourced person in a foreign land. It's going to be Bert or Leslie. If they're both on the phone, Leslie's probably going to put whoever she's talking to on hold just to answer your call and tell you to hang on, I'll be right with you. And you're going to talk to the same people every time you call. Now, if you call in the middle of the night, you know, unfortunately, they have to go home and sleep too. So they're not there during the night, okay? You can still reach someone at night, you just won't reach them. But if you call 866-928-3310 during regular trading hours, an hour before regular trading hours, and usually 2 hours after, because I get emails from them and I type back, Guy, are you still in the office? Leslie, are you still at work? Well, yeah, I just had to get... Go home. Please, go home. You know, I want you to be around tomorrow. Those guys work a lot of hours. But they do it because they want you to be successful. Okay? When you become a client at Daniel's Trading, when you get this DT Pro platform on your computer, unlike the other guys, you don't pay platform fees. You don't get nickeled and dimed to death for every single data feed. Oh, you want some Dow? Well, that's going to cost you, pal. Oh, you want some S&P? Well, that's going to cost you differently. Oh, you want to get some soybeans? Well, you're going to have to pay for that. That's crazy. That's crazy. And I know how crazy it is because I paid those big fat fees for years. Because the people I charted with, their brokerage side of their business was just horrid. And so I had to go find I had to chart with one company, execute with another company, and then I found a place where I could put all my business under one roof. I could chart and execute one place. So, you know, whether you become a client with Daniel's Trading or DT Pro, that's up to you. Do I earn money if you become a client? No. If you execute trades through them, the CFRN, Michael and I, do we get any kind of kickback, commission, anything? The answer is emphatically no. We do not benefit monetarily if you become a client of Daniel's Trading and DT Pro. That's not why we recommend them. We recommend them because we know that there is no better solution out there. We trust them. They're like family to us. Okay? However, what I can say is that if you take our free trial to the live trading room, you will have access to the platform and the indicators and the data feeds for a full week. And Bert will do one-on-one webinars with you or one-on-one go-to meetings to help you get your charts set up, to help you get your data flowing, help get your indicators working. I mean, they absolutely go out of their way to make the transition as seamless for you as possible. Is there such a thing as a seamless transition from one charting platform to another? I don't think so. But boy, they do everything in their power to smooth it out, so the bump is barely noticeable. Okay. And so I'll say that again because I now look up at the question box. Are you getting paid directly or indirectly to say that? Let me say it again. No. I get not one thin dime. If you take a free trial with them, I don't get one thin dime. If you open an account with them, I don't get one thin dime. And if you execute trades through them, I don't get one thin dime. Not directly, not indirectly. Checks aren't sent to my third cousin Elmo. No, not directly, not indirectly. I recommend them because I want you to have the very best of whatever's out there. I want you to have it. Why? Because you've chosen to be a listener of this radio program. Many of you, for 6 years since we first broke the airwaves, 6 years ago, you've been with us. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. I don't take that lightly. And I will never, ever intentionally steer you down any blind alley or suggest that you do anything that is not in your best interest. For those of you that have been around for any length of time, you know that if anything, I err always on the side of caution. That's why I have no problem recommending Burton Leslie, DT Pro, Daniels Trading, 866-928-3310. If you want the free trial and you want a chance to win the iPad 2 that we're giving away at the end of the month, go to cfrn.net/iPad. That's cfrn.net/iPad. Okay? It's right there. iPad 2 giveaway. If you've already taken the free trial, recommend a friend. Your friend will put your name down here. You get entered in the drawing as well. Okay? And it tells you here what you can expect, okay, what your free trial amounts to, etc. Now, some people just are like, they get hinky. Oh, giveaway. Oh, there's some trick involved. Nobody gives away something for free. Whatever. Okay. You're entitled to your beliefs. You really are. So for those of you who, that's how you roll, go to this address, cfrn.net/apply. And you can take the free trial, and you're not obligated to potentially win an iPad 2. Okay. Oh, me. All righty. That's going to wrap it up for another day of trading. Go take the free trial. Have a great... Look at this thing right here. Watch it. Watch it and see if it can come back to the 42.43. Okay. See if it can come back. If it does, you may want to trade this thing long. You may want to trade this thing short. It's entirely up to you. What I'm not anxious to do is to take any trade in this area right here, right now. If there's a break of this trend line here, so by the time you break that trend line, not a lot of room to run. In fact, that trend line could potentially put you right at that 53 number that I mentioned. Is that the number I mentioned? Yeah, it is. Okay. So, let's just see. Let's just wait and see. There's no need to rush. Between 53 and 43, there's 10 points. Okay. So, I'm either going to trade it down from the top or up from the bottom as long as I'm here. I'm going to run to Starbucks first and then come back and watch maybe the final hour of trading today. Got a couple of errands to run. But again, if you have questions, shoot it out. support@cfrn.net. If you need to get going with the free trial, let me know. We'll get you hooked up. If you have any problems, either myself or Michael, who you can reach, tech@cfrn.net. Okay, tech@cfrn.net. He'll be happy to answer your questions as well. Oh, let's take one last peek here at the euro. All right, see this wick here? Now, I'm going to say this again. This 136.15/20, that was a weekly trading zone last week, and oddly enough, it was the same, one of the same zones this week. Doesn't happen a lot, but occasionally it does. So that makes it a pretty important area. So I'm going to watch that pretty closely. You may see a tweet come out between now and the close or shortly after the close on the euro. the trade last night, so 137.05 stop. Here's what I want you to look at. Over here, we had blue candles, bullish, and we had white potential change of trend candles. All right? How is that different from this? Okay, here's how it's different. Over here, when we had these white candles, potential change of trend, we were above the BBC, we were above the weekly trading zone, and we had a blue MA1 that was climbing. Okay? Over here, we got the small candles. Remember I told you about the small candles. Potential change of trend. But what's different? Well, what's different is we now have a red MA1 overhead and falling. Below and climbing, overhead and falling. Totally different scenario. That's why these white candles gave me more to think about than these white candles. And see, as we came down through here, it's really a nice trade. Pulled right back into here, right back into the pocket, and dropped. That was almost an effortless trade. They're not always that easy. Gee, I wish they were. All right, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.